All right, y'all, it is New Year's Eve, and that is not stopping us from doing a place-by-place fishing report just like we did on Christmas Eve, because we don't give a crap about holidays when we have information to supply to you. I am Captain Josh Olive. Seated next to me, Mr. Robert Lukowitz, the man with the plan, the man with the information, who will be providing most of the info that goes into this place-by-place report.
Some this week.
Well, there's only so much info out there
right
now.
Last week. Last week was cold. Now we jump back to hot. So.
Yep. And, you know, some of this, like we talked about last week, will be a little bit of guess of what's going on. It's been weird. We had very cold temperatures when we did this one last week, and now the temperatures have come up quite a bit. So, you know, you can't expect fish to just go back to what they were doing before. That's not how this works.
Right.
So we'll be making some educated guesses as we go on to go along with the intel that Robert's been receiving from people. With that having been stated, I think it's time to just jump right into this thing with the Peace River, Harbor Heights, and Upriver along with Shell Creek. What's been happening, Bob?
A few more snook have been moving up in there. They haven't been chewing very well, but a lot more people seeing them around their dock lights. And then they've also had been seeing a few more tarpon, little baby tarpon up there. And a couple guys did catch a couple of redfish.
How so, baby are the tarpon?
10 to 30 pounders, the normal river winter fish.
And the redfish, have they been caught around the docks, or where have they been?
They didn't really specify. There's just two guys fishing that caught two of them.
Okay.
So.
If they caught two, then there was probably more.
Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised if docks are where they're at. And there's not a whole lot of structure up there.
Uh-uh.
If you look around, you can find some natural vegetation structure, but the docks are just the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
So, you know, and it's funny because if you're used to fishing mangroves for redfish and now you're going to go pull them out from underneath the dock like a bass or a snook, you know, a lot of people, it never really occurs to them that that's where those fish will be, but that's exactly where those fish will be.
Right. Yep. So.
All right. How about the Darst Park Boat Ramp I-75 Bridges area?
Got nothing.
No reports. That meshes well with the last 2 weeks.
Right.
U.S. 41 Bridges Live Oak Park area.
Oh, let's see. There's been a couple snook in the evening. A couple of trout. Guy did catch a couple of redfish there the other day. And a couple of mangrove snapper. A lot of people fishing from shore lately because of the bad weather and a lot of guests down. So, plenty of people fishing there, just not gangbusters by any stretch. But when that water temperature drops the way it did, it's going to be a little funky.
Okay. So, with having those fish there but a little bit slow and not in great numbers, how are you going to fish to try to maximize your chances of getting bit up there?
A shrimp on the bottom. Just the plain old shrimp on the bottom, or even try maybe even cut bait like sardine or threadfin or a piece of mullet. But I'm just want something that's either going to, if it's going to be an artificial, it's going to be a plastic and something that's got stink on it and work it really slow.
And the catfish and stingrays?
I haven't heard much of those. I'm sure they're there. But
okay.
That's going to happen no matter what. But, you know, when the water's this cold, it's all about pretty much going pretty slow.
Yes. Very slow.
Cute.
Lashley Pier.
Got nothing. Got nothing from there.
But there's probably a few fish over there.
Oh,
if
yeah.
There's fish on the other side of the river at Live Oak Point.
Yeah, there's usually trout and snapper and snook, but I just haven't had any reports off of it, so. It's all hypothetical at this point.
Yes, sir. The Bayshore Pier.
Nada.
The Port Charlotte Salt and Brackish Canals.
There's been a few snook in there. Nothing behind our house, of course. But they've been getting a few snook. A couple guys are trolling, going in and out of the canals and picking up a snook. A couple of jacks. And that's really about it. It's been super quiet back there since the cold.
How about the sand bream?
Haven't heard of any sand bream at all. salinity's coming up, so I'm sure they're pushing further and further back up into the canals.
Yeah, but there's got to be some in there. And sand bream are one of those fish that just don't really care about it being cold. That's a species that ranges way up north of here.
Right.
So, not so much with the sheep's head turning up in there?
No.
Okay.
Nope, not at all.
Last week we had talked about a few sheep's head showing up, but not flooding in there.
Yeah.
So, we're in that same situation.
Yeah. It's just been pretty quiet overall.
Okay. How about Elder Bean?
Elder Bean, they've been getting some trout. I've heard of a couple of sheep's head. And then the night bite for snook has been pretty incredible. One of my regulars goes out there, and he just likes to go out there for his exercise and just likes to catch fish, and he uses a Calcutta pole. And he said he's been getting some pretty good-sized fish this past few days. He said Christmas Eve he did real good.
So is it all size, or is it numbers, too?
Numbers and size. He said he had 15 fish Christmas Eve.
Wow. Yep, that's doing good.
Yeah. You know, broke off by one big, big fish, which is pretty impressive on a Calcutta pole. That very seldom happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about the Myakka from the bridge down to Marker 8?
The only thing I've heard about was a couple of trout basically out in that 5-6 feet of water over towards Hog Island. But they got nothing in the cutoff or any of that area. The snook should be pouring in there, and the trout usually dump up in that north end in that little bay before you really truly get into the cutoff. But got nothing on that. I think it's partially due to the cold weather and the wind, but also there was such serious low tides this past week. I think a lot of people were very apprehensive about going in there.
Right.
I mean, I had dirt to the inside of my last piling on my dock, and my dock is, what, 10 feet? 10 feet off the seawall. And I had dirt out to that last piling. It's pretty skinny.
That is getting thin.
Yeah.
South Gulf Cove canals.
Nothing. Guy was going in there to try to fish for more tilapia and Mayan cichlids the other day, but he never did call me back to let me know how he did.
Well, weenie.
Yeah.
All right, the West Wall.
West Wall, the only thing I've heard about is all the hypothetical things of dead fish up inside the creeks over there. But I have yet to see a picture for any proof. But you said you had a couple of valid people that you trust that don't exaggerate too much.
Yep.
That saw the fish over there. But
that's a key word right there, too much.
Right. And, you know, I don't know how to take it. I know there's dead fish out there. I'm sure there's no question that some fish died, but it's to what amount and what species. The only other thing alive over there I've heard about has been some trout on top of the bar and on the outside edge of the bar. And a couple of guys skipped some pompano when they were running over there, but never did hook any. And then they also saw a couple bonnet heads cruising around on the flats over there, but didn't fish for them. They just mentioned they saw them.
Now, I think it's important to mention that if there were some dead fish in that area, it was just about guaranteed to be due to the cold and not due to red tide.
Oh, yeah.
The definitely. Likelihood of red tide in that area without having had it anywhere between there and the Gulf, I mean, so ridiculously low that it's not even worth thinking about. Yeah. And a lot of people are going to automatically jump to, if there's dead fish, it must have been red tide.
Right.
Without thinking about, well, wait a minute, we had really low tides, we had cold temperatures, we had bottom exposed there, you had water running across that bottom that had been exposed as the tides come back in, and that causes a rapid chill down in that area. And even fish like sheep's head that can take water temperatures into the 40s with no trouble, if it rapidly cools down, that's enough to kill them.
Yeah.
And then you've got fish like snook. I mean, snook are notorious for being killed by low water temperatures anyway. So it doesn't take a whole lot when the water's already in the 50s to kill a snook.
Right.
But even cold hardier species can die if the water temperature drops rapidly.
Yeah. Puts them into shock.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 15-degree temperature change just in general, never mind some of the really shallow areas might have saw 20-25-degree temperature drops.
Yep. And, you know, we don't see this every winter because, I mean, when the water temperature cools down more gradually, the fish deal with it better, but they also know to move out of those types of areas. They move off the flats. They move out of the creeks. They get out ahead of those low temperatures, but this one just kind of snuck up on them. It had been fairly warm, and then suddenly we have that massive cold front come through here, and it catches fish unaware.
Especially when it coincides with the super lowest tides of that particular month.
Yep. Well, and actually, the super lowest tides are not just of that month, but there was a negative 1.2 tide on one of those.
Oh, really?
Which is a super low tide.
Right.
So it was serious low tides. It was not just the normal low tides. It was for realsies.
Yeah.
So
the part about those that happened, like, nationwide because they were talking about it in Washington State and Oregon State, and they call them king tides, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some of the record low water over there, and they were talking about some of the sea lions that had some issues, and I forget what other fish over there that they actually had some issues with because of the super low tides and their cold temperatures they had. Because that cold front hit the entire nation.
Right.
Because what, for 2 days, every state in the continental U.S. was in the 30s?
Yes. And they did have snow in Hawaii.
Yeah.
On top of the mountain.
On top of the mountain, yeah.
So, but that wasn't related to that storm. It was
but
a different winter storm.
They also had flurries in Miami.
Did they?
Yeah. It was on NBC, ABC, whatever news. They said that it melted before it hit the ground, but it was actually considered what they called flurries or snow suspended.
I saw they had sleet in Brevard County, and they said there was some snow mixed with it, but the snowflakes really were, I mean, it wasn't snow in the sense that most people think of it.
But right. But technically, to call it that, that's what they have to.
Now, see, this is why you should listen to the report instead of read it.
Right.
Because you hardly ever get to read about sleet and sea lions.
Right.
I don't type that part out.
Nope.
Moving on. K-Pays.
Okay. K-Pays. Bonnet heads. Some trout. And that's all I got there. Wait a minute. No, a couple ladyfish, too. They did catch a couple ladyfish over there.
Sounds to me like a good place to fish a shrimp.
Definitely.
For all that stuff. And by the way, if you want to target those bonnet heads, skip the wire leader. You don't need it.
Okay.
Disagree with me. Go ahead.
Nope.
I want you to.
I'm not feeling.
It'll make me happy if you disagree with me. Go ahead.
I'm not feeling argumentative enough today.
Listen, if you catch a bonnet head shark, take a look at his teeth, and you'll notice that a lot of their teeth, especially in the corners of their mouth, are flattened out. They're modified from typical shark teeth so that they can serve as crushing plates. And if you're using a circle hook, which you should be using for bonnet head sharks since you have to use a circle hook to stay legal when you're shark fishing, you'd be hooking those fish probably in the corner of the mouth, and you're nowhere near the area where you would need to worry about wire leader. Yeah, he might rub off on your skin a little bit if he's been fought for a long period of time. You're using 15-pound leader. But we catch them all the time on 30-pound leader with no wire, with no problems at all.
Okay.
You might lose one very occasionally because he'll eat the shrimp down deep and he'll cut you off. But they are sharks. They are leery of steel. And you already have a steel hook out there. And putting wire leader out there just makes it more difficult. Plus, you'll cut down on your trout and ladyfish that you catch as bycatch while you're bonnethead fishing. So my suggestion is that you just skip the steel.
Okay.
Robert disagrees. He just doesn't want to fight with me.
Well, the main thing is don't care about the crusher teeth or whatever. Don't stick your finger in their mouth because they
will take a
fingertip or give you stitches.
I didn't hear me say put your finger in their mouth because
no,
they're harmless.
But you were kind of implying like that it's not a big deal that they have this. And
okay,
they,
look at
that's why you don't need a wire leader.
Look at,
so you got to kind of expand on that a little bit more because the general public can be below average when it comes to stuff.
Listen, if I have to get bit by a shark, bonnet heads are high on my list of the potential species that I would rather get bitten by.
Sure.
But I'm still not sticking my finger in any shark's mouth of any size. I don't care how big or how small. If it's a brand new...
I'd rather stick my finger in an iguana's mouth, a full-blown adult iguana's mouth, than do that with a bonnet head.
Yeah. Yeah, even a baby little sharp-nosed shark. You know, those little tiny 10-inch sharp-nosed sharks?
Nope.
No way. Forget about it. I'm not doing it. You will bleed, and you will bleed lots.
Yes.
Okay. Turtle and bulbays.
Trout. That's all I've really heard about in there is trout. There
lots of trout?
Fairly decent amount. I mean, not a lot of people have been fishing this week, so to say great numbers and all this crap, no. But would I say that's probably one of your more realistic places for better numbers and better sizes? Absolutely. Just because of how the weather pattern is. But all these reports that I'm giving are from one person, two people.
It's thin.
It's
a
very
thin report this
week.
Yes,
it's slim pickings.
We'd much rather have deeper intel, but again, that relies on you folks who are out there doing some of this fishing, because we can only fish so much. We got other things we have to do. You guys are the ones who get to go out there and do it all the time. So if you'll give your reports to Robert, if you'll call into the shop, 941-625-3888, and talk to Robert and let him know what's going on. Even if you go out there and you say, hey, you know what? We went, we found nothing. That's a valuable report. I give those kind of reports to Robert all the time.
Absolutely. We had a couple customers that give me those.
Yep. All right. Anything besides trout going on in here?
There has been some snook in there. And there has been a few sheep's head around the shacks. Nobody's catching them, just seeing them.
Okay.
But I imagine that that'll perk up a little bit. And with the snook that were out on the beaches and still are out on the beaches, I'm sure after this cold snap, we're going to see some more snook popping up into those bays a little bit as they leave the beaches.
I would imagine. Cape Hayes Reef and Danger Reef.
Got nothing.
No reports. Or in Spanish, no reportos. Gasparilla Sound.
That's funny. Gasparilla Sound, I've got nothing.
No reportos. Okay. Placida. The pier, the trestle, the Coral Creek Pier, Gasparilla Pass.
Sheep's head. Lots of people seeing sheep's head, a few people catching sheep's head. The nighttime, the guys have been catching some snook out there. A couple of small sharks. What else been going on there? That's about it. There was a woman in here last night with her two kids, and they were out there the night before last. I think it was the night before last. They were planning on going out last night and tonight to go out there to fish. But I think it was a couple nights ago she was out there with the kids, and they caught like four little snook off a light. They had a lantern hanging off. They saw some shrimp float by, small ones. Some little bait came around. They saw one fish that looked like a tarpon, but it was down a little deeper, so they weren't sure if it was a good-sized snook or a tarpon. But they at least caught a few little snook, and several other people out there caught snook, too.
Good times.
Yeah.
How about Lemon Bay?
I got nothing for over in Lemon Bay at all. I got the Inglewood fishing report, but none of those guys for the two fishing reports that he sent me were for Lemon Bay at all.
And how about the Anger Pier?
A couple trout were caught off there by a kid the other day. And then they caught two little mangrove snappers. The dad said that they were about 4 to 6 inches long. Because they actually were listening to one of your stories about fishing there, like micro fishing in.
Oh, okay.
He made it sound like he read the column, not like what we were talking about last week. I think we talked about that on the radio, didn't we?
I think I made it my best bet last week.
Was it?
On the Radio Waterline Show.
Okay.
I believe I did.
But I think he implied like it was one of your columns talking about it, so they messed around with that, but they only caught the mangrove snapper. Mm. His boy had on what he thought was a toadfish, but it got off as he was lifting it out of the water. Mm. It was the only thing he could figure.
Okay.
But they had fun.
Nope, that's always fun. All right, how about the Venice jetties?
Venice jetties, sheep's head, and a few more sheep's head.
So lots of sheep's head.
Yep. Well, that's the only reports I've gotten were sheep's head. And plus, that's what Cooks was talking about today, wasn't it? Sheep set up there.
Yeah, there's some sheep set up there.
Yeah. But didn't hear of anything else. Unfortunately.
It's all right. It's okay. Gulf of Mexico, bottom fishing and trolling, reefs and wrecks.
Really not much, because nobody had been out because of the cold weather and the wind. People are going to go out today. Had a lot of guys buying bait, but I got no up-to-date reports on that.
However, it is worth mentioning that January 1st...
Red grouper.
Mm-hmm.
And lane snapper. Which they'll keep open for about 2 weeks, and then they'll change their mind all of a sudden.
Well, they might. There's nothing to stop them.
Wouldn't surprise me.
They do what they want.
I know.
All right, now I'm prepared to copy-paste some no reports here. Punarasa?
No report.
Okay. I'm going to stick with no reportos, since I accidentally typed that the one time, and it's funny to me.
Okay.
Redfish pass?
Copy-paste.
No reportos. Okay, somehow I screwed this up. I'm just copy-pasting, and yeah. Somehow I screwed it up.
Let me just type no report those. Probably be quicker.
Right Captiva pass. Captiva pass.
Nada.
No report those. Look, I did it again.
See? You typed it.
Just ridiculous.
You could type it quicker. You're good at typing.
Boca Jesus, Grand pass. Man. Boca Grand.
That I've got reports for.
Okay. I'll type those then.
Okay. Some snook. A few big redfish. Oversized redfish.
Ooh.
Some sheep's head. Couple of small mangrove snapper, a couple of baby gag grouper, and I mean baby, which is kind of nice to hear because it's been a while since I've heard about any baby
yes.
gag grouper around. And then a guy did get one pompano, but several people told me they got redfish off there and they were all good sized to oversized redfish, which is pretty cool to hear about, especially this time of year.
Yes, it is.
And all of them were on shrimp, except for one guy did have cut bait out there, and he didn't specify. He just said cut bait. So, no idea.
Okay.
It's his cool. story. He's sticking with it. It could have been any type of thing.
Could have been anything at all. Could have been his own imagination. That's not what's important.
Right.
What's important is what I typed out.
Well, in the pictures, I did actually see pictures of the redfish, so I believe I got proof of that. And I've been hearing of people seeing snook that have been walking the beaches because it was kind of miserable weather last week, but walking the beaches just out there with family in town to go check things out and still seeing snook out there. Pretty interesting.
How about the Matlache Pass Indian Field Smokehouse Bay area?
Some trout. Trout, basically Two Pines area to Smokehouse Bay, right in that area. That's the only report I got of some trout.
Okay. The south end of Pine Island Sound?
Nothing.
No reports. No reportos. The north end of Pine Island Sound?
Around Boquilla, some trout.
No, Boquilla is the next spot.
Oh, well, then I got nothing over there.
Okay, Jug Creek Shoal and Boquilla.
Trout around Boquilla.
Puffers?
Oh, plenty of puffers. Pretty much anywhere you go from Cape Hayes out to the intercoastal, north, south, middle, it's puffers.
Puffers, Burnt Store, and Two Pines.
Trout on the outside of the bar. There's even been some trout on the inside of the bar. Some oversized redfish. A few snook. And all of those have been being caught on shrimp.
Redfish and snook are under the shrubbery?
In the trough and under the shrubbery. One guy was in here buying a prop bait to go fish down there because I guess he got into some snook just before the cold front and had one big trout on a prop bait. So he was looking for the old school devil's horse, but mm-hmm. we found one that's similar to it in the Berkeley.
Hey, remind me. Did Devil's Horse come in two sizes? Was there a small one and a big one?
I only remember the big one.
Because I seem to remember there being one that was maybe like 4.5 inches, and then another one that was bigger, like 7.5, maybe pushing 8 inches. A big one.
There probably was at one time, but I only really remember the smaller one.
Huh.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Because I remember having a double prop bait that I would use for bass fishing that was just killer, and it either was a bigger Devil's Horse or it was patterned after a Devil's Horse and made larger.
Right.
But I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
I don't think about Devil's Horses that often until you said it.
Well, when they use them a lot, like there's over the years, there's been a lot of companies that have made knockoffs of that big one for the peacocks in the Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My dad didn't like me using that lure.
No.
No. He thought I chose it because
because of the name.
Yeah, it had devil in the name. He thought I was being a evil, rebellious teenager.
You were.
By
you
picking
had
the
long
devil's
hair.
Horse.
You were all into that gothic look.
I had to show him that Grandpa had devil's horses in his tackle box before he would let me actually buy devil's horse lures.
Should we get him a daredevil spoon for...
Oh, don't even start on that, because that one has the devil on it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
We should get him one for his birthday.
Nope. Get him that and a can of deviled ham. And
should have subtly leave it in his toolbox somewhere.
I think it's a good idea, but I'll consider it.
It's fun to poke the hornet's nest once in a while.
East Side Keys, Cormorant Key, Sneaky Creek, Pirate Harbor.
There's been trout out there along the whole east side on the outside of the bar. A few small bonnet heads. There has been a few small snook up inside the bays and around the islands. And that's really about it. Nothing exceptional over there. But the water is super clean and clear over there. Everyone's talking about all the little potholes and branches that are in the water that they're seeing now.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's fun. Sight casting those bonnet heads.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, that's the thing.
I just like watching them swim.
If you don't have the fish eyes yet, if you haven't figured out exactly how to spot a trout laying there on the bottom, which is not an easy thing to do, you can see a bonnet head.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can see a bonnet head from a long ways away.
Right.
So it's the fish that gets a lot of people into sight fishing. Because it's not that hard to watch him, wait for him to come up to you, put that shrimp out there 10 feet in front of his face, and hope that he just keeps going the direction that he's going, and
right.
A lot of times they will, and they'll pick up on that. This is one case where you really want to use a live shrimp, not a frozen one, because you want that shark to feel the electrical impulses coming off your live shrimp, Even if he's just barely kicking, and he's just laying on the bottom, that's still way better than a dead shrimp here.
Oh, yeah.
But to cast it and to watch him come over and do it, and it's just super cool, It gets addictive. So.
Well, especially as they hone in on it, that hammer starts sweeping back and forth pretty rapidly.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
And, even once you figure out how to spot snook, trout, redfish, stuff like that, the quote-unquote prestigious game fish, it still is really cool to go out there and sight fish for those sharks.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't act like anything else does.
No. They're pretty awesome.
How about headed further north into Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, the skating rink?
Nothing.
That's where the bite dies?
Yeah. Well, that's just where I got no reports for it. Doesn't necessarily mean it dies.
You think that those fish are probably still there that we're seeing on the rest of the east side?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I don't know about the trout part of it, but I'm sure there's some snook and some redfish that piled up into those canals and stuff, but I just haven't gotten any reports on them. It's just like I haven't heard of any of the jacks really either that were around, but... I think a lot of it's just the lack of being able to get out there and do anything.
Well, what I hate is that some of this becomes self-fulfilling prophecy, because people will rely on the fishing reports to know where to go, and they end up going where other people have gone,
right.
Where they reported something. And you say, well, I got nothing to report from the skating rink area. And it's not because there's definitely no fish there. It's just that there wasn't anybody in there to look for them.
Right.
But some people will look at that and say, oh, there's no reports. There must not be anything there. I'm not going to bother. I'm going to look for some place where the reports are better. You know, but this is the case where we're exposing one of the weaknesses of phishing reports, because we can only tell you, A, what has been happening, not what is going to happen, and B, where people have been catching fish means that people have been fishing there. The places where people haven't been or haven't been able to get to, you have no reports out of there.
Right.
Doesn't mean there's nothing there. Just means that the reports aren't there.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to stop ranting. Ponce de Leon Park?
Some mangrove snapper, a couple of snook, and a couple guys saw a black drum but didn't hook any of them. And one guy tried to poach a snook and got chased by somebody that dropped, and he dropped it, I guess.
Dropped it.
Yeah, so they took it back and threw it in the water.
Hmm.
But the guy tried leaving with it.
Sounds like a real tool.
Yeah.
PGI Canals and Punta Gorda,
like
Barge Canal and Elizabeth Park.
Lots of snook. A whole lot of snook moving onto the lights. People are getting a few mangrove snapper. And then there was a couple of redfish caught way in the back by the Rim Canal. Going towards Alligator Creek, I guess. That way, way back section. The old bird section.
Okay.
And that's really about it.
We're going to call that Buckley Pass that they were headed toward.
Okay.
Since that's what that area is called now. Probably still could call it the bird section, but, you know, we do need to get people used to that name. The Gilchrist Pier.
Got nothing.
No reportos. Alligator Creek Reef.
A few trout. Some baby jewfish. And only one sheep said that I heard about.
No. One.
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 Yep.
Okay. How about the 20-foot holes?
Nada. Nothing. Zero. No reporto. No reporto. There we go. Mumble, mumble.
I'm still going to put tongue fish. I'm just going to make it better and better for tongue fish every week.
There you go.
2 weeks ago, it was tongue fish. Last week, it was still more tongue fish. Now, it's more tongue fish than you might believe. Can't wait to see what I type next week for tongue fish.
Drag a seine net.
Yeah.
See what you can find.
Specifically, black cheek tongue fish. That's our inshore tongue fish species. We have several offshore tongue fish, but this is the one that comes inside.
Gotcha.
So, for those of you who are not aware, tongue fish is a flounder that has a strangely long and skinny shape to it. Bait fish reports.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
I'm just going to type no.
Yeah.
All right.
A little too chilly. A
little bit. How about the freshwater canals, creeks, ponds, lakes, ditches?
They're catching some bass and some crappie. And I heard of bass and crappie being caught on crappie minnows and shiners. Guy got a 14-inch crappie the other day on a shiner.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah, it's not shocking to me at all, but he was impressed. Because he fishes with shiners all the time, and it's the first time he's ever caught a crappie on one.
Right, big fish, big bait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of a thing.
Is that the theory?
Yeah, well, that's the idea anyway.
Right. That's what gives us confidence and makes us feel better about ourselves, but not necessarily true.
Anything else to report in the freshwater?
Nothing.
No tilapia? No bluegills?
Nothing.
No warmouths bedding?
Nope.
No Mayan cichlids?
Nothing.
No peacock bass sickles?
Dead ones. But no.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, since we're not doing tarpon reports because it's winter,
yep.
I guess that wraps this thing up. This is our last place-by-place fishing report for the year, Robert. How do you feel about that?
Yay.
Well, don't worry. We'll start off doing new ones next year.
Yeah. 1 week from today.
Approximately.
Roughly.
That's the plan, anyway. And speaking of things in the new year, we are starting up with our Luigi's fishing seminars again this upcoming month. What is the date on that? Is that the 19th? I think it is, the third Thursday.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because I panicked about it the other day because I looked at the calendar wrong. Actually, I didn't look at the calendar wrong. I just didn't look at the month.
you looked at December instead of January.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
But no, our seminar does not interfere with Grandma's birthday, so it's okay.
That's all that matters.
So if you would like to set yourself up for a seat there, I mean, come on, it's New Year's Eve. It's close enough to January, right?
Nope.
No? You're literally going to make them wait until tomorrow?
Yeah.
You're such a meanie.
Got to. It's fair for everybody.
Anyway, if you would like to reserve yourself a spot, call the shop, but wait until January 1st because Robert is a stickler that way.
It's got to be fair for everybody because there's a lot of people that are patient, and we got people that are here year-round that come to this year-round, and because some people sign them up early, some of those people get pushed out that are regulars, and that's not really fair.
No, I agree with you. That is not cool.
So if we keep it fair, it's everyone gets their fair shot at it.
Okay, so make sure it's January before you call the shop and try to set yourself up a seat.
I tried doing it yesterday to me. I'm like, no, you got to wait until the 1st. I'm sorry. It's got to be fair for everybody.
Okie
dokie. I'll call back.
All right, well, that is going to wrap this thing up. Not just for this week, but for the year, as we said. Happy New Year. Try not to die in a fiery car crash tonight. I know I'm going to. Try not to.
Avoid every drunk person you can.
Absolutely. So, we will see you back here next year. Say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.